New season, new year, new chance. Let's go.
No challenge too difficult.
No sacrifice or self-denial too great. Team first. Team last. Team always.
Believe it or not, there's only one day left of practice on these fields here at the University at Albany at Giants training camp. The Giants have gotten a lot of work in over the past 2.5-3 weeks, but they're heading back to New Jersey tomorrow. One practice left to go. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. My name is John Schmuggler. It's all presented by Andrew Mark. And today's guest on the show is Paul Dottino. Of course, is a beat reporter for WFAN. Of course, they contribute all things Giants media. You heard Paul call the game, do an excellent job last Friday night. And Paul, it's got a sad day for you. Only one day of practice left.
John, I have such mixed emotions. You know, camp is about over, and that just breaks my heart. But opening day is only 3 weeks away. How about that?
It is exciting, and the Giants are getting ready, but they are dealing with some injuries, Paul. I know you have your huge list of them. Why don't you kind of go through what's going on, what guys are coming back, what guys are still out?
Well, the most important thing to remember, folks, is that Akeem Nicks was taken off the PUP list today after the offseason foot surgery, so that's a good thing. He's been working out a lot on the side. He thinks he's going to be able to practice within a week or so, and that bodes very well for him as he tries to target the Cowboys game opening day for the regular season.
Now, of course, according to NFL rules, by the way, he has to be limited for the 3 days coming off of that PUP list. He did pass his physical today. Just wanted to make that clear to the people out there.
Well, that's why he's got to wait the week,
correct,
basically, because the Giants have a couple of off days in here as they head back down from the Capital District. Now, the other thing you have to remember, Michael Boley's got a bit of a hamstring problem. Tom Coughlin grimacing a little on that. I don't know exactly how serious that is, but that's something to keep an eye on. Sean Rogers was taken to the hospital for an undisclosed injury. It was not an emergency situation, apparently, John, but they did take him for some kind of test.
Swelling in the leg is how Coughlin put it. Coach Coughlin put it yesterday.
Okay, well, that was yesterday. Today, we didn't get any more info, so hopefully we'll know something about that soon. He started the other night against Jacksonville because Rocky Bernard had a sore knee. So that's something else to keep an eye on as we run down the final couple of days leading into the next Jets preseason game.
Boley's still not practicing with the hamstring. Coach not thrilled about that.
Right,
David Douglas still out with the thigh. He's not thrilled about that either. So guys are moving along. We'll see who ends up playing against
the
Jets.
But you know, Darrell Scott was back on the field.
That was good to see.
And that was huge because Coach Coughlin was talking about how between his toe injury and his thigh injury, this guy could not compete for a roster spot.
I know, so they got to get him back on the field, compete with Andre Brown, the other running backs. Of course, this show is interactive, folks. You can reach us in a number of ways. Giants message boards, boards.giants.com, even Big Blue Interactive, Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat, or on the phones at 518-437-3774. And let's start it off with our phone calls. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Go ahead, sir. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, John. Hey, Paul. Love the show. I know Coach Coughlin always talks about the three parts of the team coming together, defense, offense, and special teams.
Right.
Which unit do you think is going to have, you know, the best year this year?
Ooh, wow, good John. Question. I've never really thought about that because I think of the Giants as one team. You know, Tom likes to think of these guys all as one unit. I will say this. There are small questions on each of the three, John.
Okay.
The kick return game in specials is certainly wide open right now. Offensively, that line is a bit of a question mark because you don't know how bad Will Beatty's back is at left tackle. So that could throw everything into a just total disarray. And then defensively, you know, you don't know really where that cornerback situation stands. Prince Amukamara is still untested. He's been up and down throughout training camp, and right now he's starting opposite Corey Webster.
Well, Paul has skillfully dodged the caller's question. I'll actually give the guy an answer. I think it's the offense, and it's very simple. Eli Manning, 2-time Super Bowl MVP. You know what you're going to get? Two high-powered wide receivers of Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks. Eli Manning, last year the defense was ranked almost last in the league for 16 games. It's got to be the offense, Paul.
John, If that offensive line crumbles, Eli Manning will not have a Pro Bowl season. It's just that simple, nor will Ahmad Bradshaw.
But, I mean, why would you think the offensive line would crumble, though? It's basically the same five guys you're bringing back from last season.
No, it's not.
Except for Kareem McKenzie.
Kareem McKenzie's gone, so David Deal's now over at right tackle, and we don't know about that all-important left tackle spot.
He did start for, what, 8 games last year?
He started for about 8 games over the course of the last 2 years, but he's got this sciatica in his lower back. You don't know how long he's going to be able to hold up. Veteran Sean Locklear is the third tackle, and I know they really don't want to put him out there for an extended period of time. So one of the options may actually be to put Deal back at left tackle. I mean, Tom Coughlin has said he's not going to rule anything out to try to get that offensive line into proper condition. I don't know, John. This is something that bears watching.
And, of course, why wouldn't you move David Deal back to left tackle? He's a veteran. He's played there before against guys like DeMarcus Ware, and he's done a good job.
Yeah, well, they won a Super Bowl with him there. So it's not like, you know, he can't do it.
Back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Cole,
hey,
are you there?
Yep.
Go ahead, man.
This is Jake from Westfield, Mass.
What's up, Jake?
I was wondering, is there any competition for any, like, the place kicker or the punter in camp?
Nope.
I haven't heard anything about it.
No, there is no competition, quite frankly. Steve Weatherford and Lawrence Tynes are the only guys that are here, and it's their jobs.
You know, one thing I do want to tell you, though, caller, is that Steve Weatherford said if the Giants were to punt him every single day at practice, he would want a second punter here to alleviate some of the workload. But the Giants have decided he's only going to punt every other day, John, so that they don't want to burn him out. And he said, hey, that schedule is fine with me. No need to bring in anybody else.
And they use that jugs machine to help the punt returners do their job, even though Steve Weatherford might actually not be punting at practice. Mm-hmm. 518-437-3774. We're also taking your questions on Twitter at #GiantsChat. Paul, some big picture camp questions before we move ahead to some of the sound for today's show. Who are some of the guys in your days up here that have really jumped out at you that you're looking forward to seeing in another preseason game?
Well, you know, after what we saw in Jacksonville the other night, you have to want to see Reuben Randle once again. The way he climbed the stairs to catch that touchdown pass from David Carr was very impressive. Or was it Perilou? No, it was Carr. It was Perilou. I can't even remember now who
threw it. I believe it was Perilou.
It was Perilou because Bennett and Standback caught the touchdown passes from David Carr.
Correct.
Quite frankly, Standback is a guy I'm a little curious about right now. After the one-handed stab in the corner of the end zone, he also gets down well on special teams coverage. And that sixth wide receiver roster spot is something that's really in limbo right now, and Standback is trying to make a play.
And we are going to hear from Isaiah Standback later in the show. We will delve into that deep wide receiver depth chart. But first, I want to get back to our calls here for a second, Paul. 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Caller, go ahead.
Oh, hey, this is Steve from California.
Steve, what's up, man? Go ahead.
Hey guys. My question is with Makimura. I'm curious, since he struggled in that first...
Hey, Steve, your line's cut out a little bit there, but I think I got the gist of it. Prince struggled on that first drive in the preseason game on Friday, but he did have a highlight play in practice today, making a great interception in front of Dominic Hixon on a sideline route.
Well, John, actually, he made a couple of really good plays in practice today, but then again, he also had too much cushion on a number of plays and allowed several completions, especially there were two in the two-minute drill that D'Lai ran at the end of practice where he was just too soft.
And not to mention the one where Ramsey's Barden basically went over and around him to catch a pass, right? Right in front of
absolutely, John. That was earlier during the practice today. So it's really a mixed bag for the Prince right now. And you have to understand something. He's a second-year player. He was hurt for the first half of last season. Then when he came back, he was still hurting and did not have much success. I'm of the belief that his confidence is not there. Now, will he get that confidence in time for opening day to start playing assertively and playing like the number one pick the Giants think he can be? John, that's anybody's guess. We just don't know.
And we're going to find out soon enough. In another game, and once we get to the regular season, they're going to be counting on Prince to start, and he's going to have to step up his game. 518-437-3774 is your phone number. Give us a call right here on Giants.com. We'll get you on the air. But over the course of camp, we tried to talk to a number of the national reporters that have come to camp. We've talked to Peter King. We've talked to Jason LaConfora. And today we had a chance to catch up with Jay Glazer from Fox Sports and get his perspective from the outside looking in, what he looks for when he comes to Giants camp.
David Wilson, I think, is the guy that you got to be excited about. He's the guy that he kind of gets it. To have that 1-2 punch there is going to be and 1-2 punch of explosion. That's a good thing. Two guys who can really explode, not just a plotter. That's certainly going to help out Eli and help out, you know, guys on the outside also.
And the NFC East is going to be very competitive, just like it always is, Jay. You have three teams, and throwing the Redskins, Robert Griffin III, who knows? How do you break down this division? Is everyone just going to be between 8 and 10 wins and see who wins 1 or 2 games at the end of the year?
Right, they're going to kind of just kill each other off. And just, you really, on paper, you could look at each team and make an argument why they're going to be the top team in the division. But, you know, the one thing that I think the Giants have over everybody else is they already know they could play through injuries. Like the Houston Texans also. They lost all these guys and they played through injuries and they excelled missing guys, where a lot of other teams don't have that same confidence. They lose something and they go, oh, man, what are we going to do now? We can't get past this. And they're able to get past it. So I think the Giants have that mental edge, if you will.
And that's the mental edge that comes from winning a Super Bowl, Paul. And Jay talked about the rookies, David Wilson especially, and you mentioned Reuben Randall already. You almost have two draft classes, though, for this Giants team that they're looking at here. You have the two guys from this year, which you already touched on. You touched on Prince. Then you have a couple other guys, like Marvin Austin, the team's second-round pick last year. Gerald Jernigan, the team's third-round pick last year.
Right.
How about these two guys? How have they looked?
They're basically pro redshirts, John.
Yeah, they
you
really
know,
they are.
Steal a term. And Jernigan troubles me a little bit because he was like a deer in headlights last year. He looked so lost. Then he had a really good minicamp. Started out real well here in Albany, John. But lately, not looking as good as he did a couple of weeks ago.
And then he muffs a punt in the game, and I'm not going to say he drops a pass, but it was a catchable pass that he couldn't come down with.
There may have been pass interference.
It could have been very easily, no question.
But you got to make the play, okay? And he didn't finish the play. And what does Tom Coughlin say? You got to finish. So that's very disappointing. The muff punt, just I can't even imagine what that must have done to his confidence after he worked so hard in the offseason to get last year's gyps or whips or gips or whatever.
Yips. That's what you're looking for.
Yips out of his system. And
you
then
had a
that
case
happens.
Of the yips there, actually.
I know, John. It's going to take me a long time to get rid of those, I'll tell you.
Let's go back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
How you doing? My name is Butch, and I'm calling from Favorland C, man.
Go ahead, Butch. What's up, man?
And I got two questions for you,
sure.
Man. I want to know, is Eli Manning, do you think he's going to improve upon his great season? And do you think that Prince Amurukwu could be challenged for his job by Jayron Osley?
Well, let me put it to you this way about Eli. Obviously, he's an established guy who is going to do everything it takes to win games. We've seen him win them in all kinds of fashions, John. But the bottom line is he will need time to throw the football. If the line doesn't hold up, it's a problem. If the receiving core does not live up to its potential, it could potentially be a problem. We don't know past the top three guys exactly where that's going to shake out, John. So if Eli doesn't have exactly the numbers that he had last year, don't panic. You know, if you're a fantasy football nut, okay, maybe that's going to bother you a little bit. But if you're the Giants, you're happy that Eli Manning is here, okay?
As long as he wins games, right?
Exactly. So you know, don't worry so much about that. Now, you mentioned Hosley. John, I talked to you earlier today. Hosley has all the skills to be a terrific cover corner in this league. He was working a lot today with the sub package, working a lot today in the nickel and in the slot. Victor Cruz ran some routes around him and made him look bad a few times.
He does that to a lot of people, though.
It's Victor Cruz.
Now, Paul, I want to build on this for a second. We do have a Giants message board question just on this topic. I want to jump ahead here a little bit.
Go ahead.
And this comes in from Big Blue Bomber. If Jayron Hosley keeps stepping up, can he take over that nickelback position so they can leave onshore rollover at safety? I'm pretty sure that's what you were getting at.
No question. I think the Giants have been impressed with Hosley. I think they're trying to accelerate his development. Fast forward now to opening day. And if he progresses well throughout the preseason, I think there's a chance that Hosley will take that job over and Roll can go back to playing free safety.
No question about it. The caller also brought up Eli Manning. Now, one of his backups is Ryan Perilou. He's been here for a couple of years. Last year, of course, he was the guy on the practice squad, off the practice squad. He got cut half dozen times during
13
the year.
13 times
was it
back
13?
And forth. 13.
That's
but
a
for
lot.
Him, it was a lucky number because he's back.
And I'll tell you what, he's back, and he played pretty well in his preseason game on Friday. I had a chance to talk to Ryan earlier in the day, and I asked about his performance in his first preseason game of 2012.
The game went well. Coach Nim thought I did a lot of good things. You know, definitely learned a lot from the film as far as just getting the tempo and, you know, making sure guys know what they're doing out there, you know, just kind of being that field general. But overall, I graded out really well, and Coach Dem was really impressed with my play.
Now, I'm sure you're pretty excited running onto the field with 2 minutes to play, a chance to run a real two-minute drill in a game situation. You didn't have much of a chance with that pass rush, though.
Well, you know, like I said, it was the first game out, and you know, a lot of guys just trying to get a feel for, you know, how the game's going to be and the speed of the game. And I think that overall we did well, and I think guys learned from the film, and I think we'll have a better out next week.
Coming out of this game and into practice, only a couple more practices up here in Albany, then we go back to the TPC. Where are you trying to improve? Where are you trying to get better?
I'm just trying to gain tempo, get us in and out of plays quicker. I'm getting us into plays, right plays. I'm having us in right spots, just get there faster. And just, you know, speed up my decisions. And I think that if I continue to just stay in my book and continue to learn, I think I'll be polished up by the beginning of the season.
From the start of training camp to now, where do you think you've improved the most so far?
Definitely getting the ball out of my hands quicker. Definitely being more aggressive downfield, hitting a lot of big plays. You know, and just kind of running the system the way it's supposed to be ran, you know, and Coach Nim is really impressed with it.
And you heard from Perilou there, Paul, and he made the point they want him to get the ball out quicker. That's something Coach Coughlin was yelling at him about during practice today. I want to go to a Twitter question to build off of that shot there by Ryan Perilou. What are the chances Ryan Perilou is the number three quarterback and they keep him, or is there even an outside chance that he could surpass David Carr and be the backup?
Well, first of all, he's got no chance to surpass David Carr as the number two. Let's just get that out of the way right now. Ryan Perilou has a terrific arm, but he's very, very inconsistent. And you cannot be that way in the NFL, even as a backup. It's just not going to work. The other thing you have to keep in mind is Tom Coughlin's been going with a two-quarterback system now for several years. That's what he's most comfortable with.
It works.
That means there is no room for Ryan Perilou on this roster unless he goes back to the practice squad again.
Which is a distinct possibility if
sure
Perilou continues to play well. Back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Timothy Fifth, Jackson, Jersey.
Go ahead, Tim.
Can the Giants rebound from their preseason with a loss for the Jaguars and win against the Jets?
Well, I don't think anybody's worrying about the loss of the Jaguars, Tim. And that's the thing about it with preseason games, Paul. Win or lose, it's nice. But in the end, it's about developing your young players, figuring out what your final 53 is going to be, and improving. That's really what it's about. It's not about win or lose.
Well, it's about finding kick returners who are going to be reliable, John.
And they're going to catch the ball.
Let's see if Hosley and Jernigan can fix those faux pas the other day in Jacksonville. And let's see if the backup Giants offensive lineman, quite frankly, can do a better job. Because I think that was the other unit that had a lot of trouble against the Jaguars.
It
was not pretty.
And frankly, the defense on that opening drive wasn't great, especially the run defense. I thought Rashad Jennings really kind of had his way with the Giants on that first drive.
Yeah, Jennings did a pretty good job. It looked like the Giants were a little bit off balance. But again, nonetheless, the Giants had a 24-14 lead at halftime. You know, given that the first and second unit players had played to that point, I think Tom Coughlin was fairly pleased.
And they had that lead because of that great one-handed touchdown catch from Isaiah Stanback. He's a guy that's kind of bounced around the league a little bit. He was with Dallas for a couple years. Then he was with New England, had some shoulder issues. He's finally been with the Giants now for a second season after spending last year on the practice squad. I had a chance to catch up with Isaiah, and I talked to him about his TD catch on Friday night against Jacksonville.
We pretty much just had a fade route called. Pretty much try to get a release, dude, try to get a little physical. He was holding me the whole time. And then I looked back and saw that DC happened, you know, I threw the ball up. So I just tried to, you know, spot the ball and go up and grab it.
Now, you've had a lot of injuries early in your career. You had that shoulder a couple times. Now, you're finally back here. You've had a couple years with the Giants now. Are you really starting to feel comfortable in this offensive system?
Very much so. I mean, very much so. I came in, you know, mid-year last year, you know, I came out of a situation. So came in last year, you know, played the role I had to play, you know, on the practice squad, which is different. But now I'm in a position where I can give me a, you know, roster spot again, and, you know, I feel comfortable with the offense.
What are some of the things that you're trying to get better at, the coaches have told you need to improve at in order to make a spot on this team?
I try to get better at everything. Like I said, I'm still learning the position, still getting comfortable with everything. I feel a lot more comfortable. But, I mean, you know, things that guys, you know, playing position now have been doing since they're little kids, you know, I'm still learning and picking up on the go. So, you know, I just, you know, working on my craft.
Now, Isaiah was a quarterback in college for you Giant fans that didn't know that. Obviously, you also play a big role on special teams. Where do you see yourself as being a contributor on specials on both coverage and return units?
I've done a lot so far in the league, so I think I'm at a weight and size where I can play a lot of different spots, so I think that's one area that I can help out a lot, you know, not just playing the typical receiver special team spots, but I also get in there and they put me down there with the, you know, the big D linemen and all those guys, so I got to be pretty versatile from that sense.
And he's going to have to be versatile, Paul, if he's going to want to make this roster, because his receiving skills alone is not going to put him ahead of guys like Ramsey's Barden or even other receivers on this roster. But his ability to play special teams, his size, his strength, his versatility, that could set him apart from those other guys on that wide receiver depth chart.
Well, John, you know, the number six wide receiver spot is the one he's fighting for right now with Douglas, DePalma, and Barden. You and I both know if the Giants do keep six receivers on their final 53, the sixth receiver may not even dress throughout the season. There's a chance he might dress one game, maybe two games, if that. But the point is, at least he's on the roster. And Stanback's ability to get down and kick coverage, you know, he's got some good speed, he's got some size, he's got some strength.
He's 230.
And he's certainly very willing to do anything to make this team. And sometimes it's that desire that separates him from other guys who are fighting for that spot. Tom Coughlin's going to look at that. He's going to look at that catch he made the other night, and he's going to say, hey, you know what? We got to give him some consideration. If Stanback continues to have those types of plays during the preseason, he might just steal that number six spot.
And one of the guys he's fighting with for that final spot, or at least some of the wide receiver spots, we don't exactly know who's going to be on the team. There are surprises all the time. This question comes in from our Big Blue Interactive message boards from Blue Blood. What is the Giants' perspective right now on Ramsey's Barden?
Ramsey's Barden is a guy who's been often injured and, quite frankly, has underachieved. He's now in his fourth season. He was a third-round pick. The Giants traded up to get him. They had very, very high expectations. And let's face it, they have not been met. Now, does the guy have skills? Does the guy have talent? Sure he does. But for a variety of reasons, the production has not been there. Tom Coughlin has said, it is time, it is time, it was time. Well, those are not the kinds of things you want to hear when you're trying to make a roster.
Well, now it's time to go back to our calls at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Johnny. It's your buddy Jeff up in Rhode Island.
Hey, what's up, Jeff? How are you, pal?
Okay. I wasn't able to watch any of the game the other night. For you, I'd like you to tell me how you rated the overall play of the linebackers. And my second question is for P-Dot. Why are we keeping a roster spot open for Clint Sintem?
Okay, well, I'll start with the linebackers first, and Paul, you can obviously, you know, piggyback on that. I thought the linebackers played pretty well. I thought they were active. I thought Herzlich made some plays. He was running around a little bit. Keith Rivers stayed healthy, which is a good sign. And I like the mix of young guys that were able to play at linebacker with Williams not being there, with Boley not being there, both guys being hurt. Spencer Paysinger got a lot of time, and he is to prove to the coaches what he can do so he can make the team.
And Paysinger is also a good special teams guy. John, are they going to keep seven or eight linebackers? And that's going to be a really tough decision because you got a guy like Jones and a guy like Paysinger who are going to be right on that bubble between that seventh and eighth spot. And Tom Coughlin's really got a tough decision there. Clint Sintem, let's face it, serious knee injury.
He's two of them.
But this past year.
Right.
His second. I don't see how he makes this team. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's been unable to produce, who's now had, you know, the big injuries that he's had, and then you're mentioning the linebackers who are currently on this roster fighting for a spot. How is Sintem supposed to climb this mountain and get onto the 53? I don't see it.
And he hasn't been able to practice all training camp, and he doesn't, I mean, we haven't really talked to Coach about it, but there really seems to be no signal that he's going to be ready anytime soon.
His only chance is to be able to get on the field and do something spectacular, one of those jaw-dropping type of plays that's going to make the coaches say, hey, we got to take another look at him. Well, he can't do it. So how's he going
to
do it?
Now, we mentioned Spencer Paysinger. I had a chance to talk to him earlier today up here in Albany, a young linebacker coming into his second year in the league. Of course, no training camp, no OTAs last year. I had a chance to talk to Spencer about his second year in the league and how he did in the game on Friday night against the Jaguars.
I think overall went pretty well for the linebackers. Obviously, there's some stuff that we have to shore up as far as our run defense and a little bit in our pass defense. But for the most part, we had some good stuff going on.
How about you personally? How did you, maybe not grade out in the game necessarily with those specifics, but how do you think you played?
Overall, I think I did a decent job, but like I said earlier, I feel like I left about two or three tackles on the field, and it all comes down to simple fits or alignments on the field.
As we could finish practicing up here in Albany, then go back to the TPC, where are you focusing most on trying to improve your own game?
Truthfully, overall, trying to get better in my pass coverage as well as my run coverage. I feel like I'm a pretty good pass coverage linebacker on tight ends and running backs, but ultimately getting my running fits down, hitting the running back or the fullback square up and knocking them back.
How much easier, if that's the right word, was it for you this year having a training camp, OTAs and all that stuff. When last year, it's just, all right, you're here, go play.
Oh, it's a world's difference. Last year, we were like chickens running around with our heads cut off. we were just given assignments last year and say, hey, run this, and not really understanding why we were running them. But this year, since we had our OTAs and our off-season workouts, we were able to understand the defense, and now we can able to talk to the defensive line or talk to the safeties, so we all know what everybody's doing.
Now, you've had some extra reps in practice. Michael Boley had a hamstring. Keith Rivers, a veteran. Obviously, Jaquan Williams had the hip. Do you think you've taken advantage of your opportunity with those extra snaps?
I think for the most part I have. That's just my main goal for this fall camp, is just to show them that I have grown from last year, and any extra reps could help.
One of many young players that the Giants got a very good look at in the game on Friday against the Jaguars, Paul. And you got to like the young guys getting out there and getting that experience. You know, Bowley's not playing, that's bad. Williams isn't playing, that's bad. He's a young guy too.
Yeah.
Would you like to see as many opportunities for these guys that really haven't been in an NFL game situation to show the coaches what they can do?
Yeah, you know, you're talking about Paisinger, and this is one of those eager guys who just wants a chance, and he's so willing to learn. He puts everything into every play. Again, it doesn't matter if he's doing the dirty work on specials or if he's lining up in a sub package or if he's even a weak side guy in the 13D. He's going to give you everything he's got. Coaches love that, especially Coach Coughlin. But I have to tell you, the guy who I thought helped himself the most out of the linebacking core the other day was Mark Herzlich. I thought Herzlich played very, very well in Jacksonville, and he is making a very strong push to try to steal that starting middle linebacker job from Chase Blackburn. And if this curve continues to go up for Herzlich, he may just steal it opening day against Dallas. I've been telling people it may be a month into the regular season. It might be sooner than that.
Well, we'll have to find out. One other guy, Paul, that's really kind of made a mark in practice, in training camp, is Adrian Tracy. A late-round draft pick a couple years ago, he had that bad shoulder injury his rookie year. Last year, he was on the practice squad, but the coaches have liked what they've seen from him. And this brings us to a question from Twitter. You can send them in, by the way, the hashtag Giants Chat, or call in at 518-437-3774. And, Paul, the question from Philip C., can Adrian Tracy make this roster?
He sure can. I mean, Tom Coughlin has already told us he has the inside track on the fourth defensive end position. Remember, Dave Tollesman vacated that spot when he signed as a free agent with the Raiders during the offseason. So the Giants are looking for that guy. Now, Justin Trotteau, because of a foot injury, has not helped himself at all.
That's not his fault. I mean, he has a legitimate injury. He was in all a right, foot for a week.
But if you can't get on the field, you can't showcase your skills. And that's a problem. And Adrian Tracy has made the most of his opportunity because he's now healthy. Once he was injured, now he's healthy. And he has performed well. I think he had two sacks the other night in Jacksonville.
He did.
Also had a couple of penalties. But bottom line is this. His teammates are calling him OC Jr. because they see his speed, his quickness, his ability to get after the quarterback. Those are all good things in Coach Coughlin's book. I think Tracy's going to stick.
All right, Paul, I want to go to the defensive tackles real quick. With the Sean Rogers injuries, we'll see how that shakes out, how serious it is. You have Chris Canty not back from that knee injury yet. All of a sudden, Marvin Austin's going to be an important guy. Rocky Bernard, who was dealing with a knee issue, he's going to be a very important guy. He might start. And then you have a young guy like Dwayne Hendricks who could really be a factor here.
And you also have the rookie draft pick Marcus Kuhn as well.
Of course.
Who is in the mix for that DT spot because the Giants are suddenly thin there. Hendricks did a good job the other day. Quite frankly, I thought he might have been the best defensive lineman on the field for the Giants. He was very active. He was taking on blockers. He was shedding blockers. He was showing some strength. He was saying today that, you know, one of the things that he really enjoyed was that Coach Coughlin mentioned him in a positive light and that he took that as a challenge to step up and raise his game to another level. You love to hear when a player says that because it shows that he is willing to meet those expectations. He's not going to sit on it and say, oh, Coach said I did a good job, and he's going to sit on his hands. No, he wants to do better. So I think he's someone you want to watch over the next couple of weeks in the preseason.
Now, one other thing I think is going to be interesting as we wind down here in a few weeks now when we do final cuts, how they're going to work it out numerically with the DBs in terms of cornerbacks and safeties. With Tyler Sash's suspension, you almost have to keep four safeties. Then how many cornerbacks do you keep, and who's the last guy on?
John, this is really, really one of the toughest questions facing Tom Coughlin and crew because you mentioned Sash. You're going to lose him for the first four games of the regular season with that suspension. So now you really can't afford to keep three safeties. You just can't. I think you're going to have to keep a fourth. So is that going to be at the expense of one of the linebackers? We were talking about Paisinger and Jones before. Is that going to be at the expense of one of the corners? We know the Giants have a plethora of corners who can probably play in this league, but, you know, how many are of starting caliber. Then you look at the defensive tackle position because Chris Canty doesn't look like he's going to be ready for opening day. You don't know what the injury to Sean Rogers is right now, so, you know, you may have to keep an extra defensive tackle. There are some very, very serious roster concerns based on injuries and player availabilities that Tom Coughlin's going to have to sort through. John, I don't have the answers yet. We're really going to have to let time kind of sort this thing out.
How do you sort through the corners, though? The Michael Coase of the world, who is out with the hamstring, by the way. And then, of course, you have the Tryons, Bruce Johnson.
Tryon makes this team. I think if Coase healthy, he probably makes the team. Bruce Johnson needs to pick it up. Has not had a great camp. But I liked what I saw of him when he was able to play, you know, two seasons ago, before last year when he blew out his knee. He needs to pick it up, and he needs to pick it up in a hurry if he's going to be on this squad.
Paul, we appreciate the time. Great work as always, and we'll see you back at the TPC. I know you're leaving Albany. It's tough.
It is, but the Timex Center feels like home already.
And we have one more show tomorrow right here on Giants.com. We might have a special guest on Boo Boo Kickoff Live. You'll have to wait and see. Stay tuned to Giants.com for all that information. For Paul Dottino, my name is John Schmelk. Thanks to our callers, thanks to the crew. We'll see you tomorrow right here, 5:30, same time, same place.